Blog Talk Radio.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I did not trust the sweetest spring, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ the His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil.
Song and Cornerstone. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule this morning to join me on the broadcast. A programming note, I'm making a change in the format of my teaching series here on The Cross in the Desert. Every Monday, for 30 minutes, I will be talking about issues related to Iran and the Iranian people and the persecuted church. And here, every Thursday, we're going to be featuring a special teaching from God's Word, a teaching series from the Bible. I want to begin a series this morning featuring the life-transforming words of Jesus from a very well-known section of Scripture in Matthew chapter 5, known as the Sermon on the Mount. And this morning we're beginning, for the next several weeks, a teaching series on the Beatitudes. And you may ask, what are the Beatitudes if you're not familiar? Well, let me answer that question by saying that every one of us, no matter if we're Christians or non-Christians, are in search for happiness. And the very title of the teaching series, Beatitudes, has everything to do with your happiness. The Beatitudes come from the opening verses of the famous Sermon on the Mount, which was delivered by Jesus, as recorded here in Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 12. Here, Jesus stated several blessings, each beginning with the phrase, "Blessed are," which speaks of divine favor that will be bestowed on the person who possesses this quality or characteristic. Now, the word Beatitudes is a Latin word from beatitudo, meaning blessedness. The phrase that we're going to be studying, blessed are, in each beatitude, well, it talks about happiness, well-being. And this expression would have been understood very well in the day of Jesus. It meant divine joy, perfect happiness. What Jesus is saying, he's speaking of divine happy and fortunate are those who possess these inward qualities, which I'm going to teach about. While speaking of a current blessedness, each pronouncement also talks about a future reward. The Beatitudes are the key to happiness. Makario is the word blessed. It means happy, joy. Are you who have these qualities and live them out? Let's take a look. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 3 today, but I want to read this whole section of Scripture to get into your hearing what I'm going to be teaching about. Jesus teaches, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who have a persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." We're going to take just the first beatitude today, but before I get into the teaching segment, you need to know a little bit about the context of these beatitudes and the context, the political context of the day of Jesus. Most Jews of Jesus' day expected the Messiah to be, first of all, a military, a political leader who would deliver them from the yoke of Rome and establish a prosperous Jewish kingdom that would just lead the world. He would be greater than any king, leader, or prophet in their history. After Jesus miraculously fed the multitude on the Sea of Galilee, the people tried to come and take him by force to make him king. They saw Jesus as the anticipated leader of a great welfare state in which their routine physical needs would be provided. But Jesus would not allow himself to be mistaken for that sort of king. And he left the crowd. He disappeared. Later, when Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus replied, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting, that I might not be delivered up to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this world." John chapter 18, verse 36. So the thrust of the Sermon on the Mount, which we're going to talk about beginning today, is that the message and the work of the King are first and foremost internal in our hearts and not external. They are spiritual and moral rather than physical and political. Here in the Sermon on the Mount, we find no politics, no social reform. Jesus' concern is for what men are, because what they are, they determine what he will do. The ideas and principles in the Sermon on the Mount are utterly contrary to those of human societies and governments. So I want to take these beatitudes. I want to do a little quick survey of each one to get them in your thinking, and then we're going to teach on the first one today. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What does that phrase, poor in spirit, mean? It speaks of our spiritual poverty. It describes the person who recognizes his or her need for God. The kingdom of heaven refers to people who acknowledge God as their king. And so right away, I want you to understand something about this phrase we're going to talk about. These are the characteristics in the Sermon on the Mount, in the Beatitudes. These are characteristics of true Christians, of citizens of the kingdom where Jesus is king. If we possess these qualities, however imperfectly, but if they are a part of our Christian walk, then they show that we truly are citizens of the kingdom. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. We're going to look very carefully at this quality today. Ptosios, poor, is a verb meaning to shrink, cower, or cringe. And beggars were described in Jesus' day as those that cowered and cringe. Classical Greek used this word to refer to a person who's reduced to total destitution, who crouched in a corner begging. As he held out his hand for alms, he often would hide his face with the other hand because he was ashamed of being recognized. So this term did not mean simply poor, but begging poor. You can look at Luke chapter 16:20. This term, potashos, poor, used to describe the beggar, Lazarus. But as we look at blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, what is Jesus expecting his listeners to understand? What is he teaching them? Now, his listeners were his disciples and also those outside of his circle of disciples that were listening to this famous teaching. To be poor in spirit is to recognize one's spiritual poverty apart from God. It is to see oneself as one really is, lost, hopeless, helpless. To be spiritually poor is to recognize our spiritual poverty. It's how we become Christians. It's how we become citizens of the kingdom, that we are convinced that apart from God, we are sinners that are due his wrath, under his judgment. Apart from Jesus, every person is spiritually destitute, no matter what his education level is, what his wealth is, his social status, his accomplishments, his religious knowledge. This is the point we're looking at in the first beatitude. Blessed are the poor in spirit. The poor in spirit are those who recognize their total spiritual destitution and their complete dependence on God. These people are they that perceive that there are no saving resources in themselves. The Bible says that we are dead in our sins, Ephesians chapter 2. We are spiritually dead. We're like the Walking Dead, the famous HBO series that is so popular. But we are physically alive, but spiritually dead. And the Bible says, blessed are you, happy are you that are poor in spirit, and that you need and you have to have dependence on God. You are depending on him for your every breath. You are spiritually destitute. And this is the opposite of pride. Self-assurance is gone when you conceive of yourself as spiritually poor. You stand empty-handed like the beggar before God. Let me give you an illustration that you can see what spiritual poverty versus spiritual pride looks like. You know, Jesus was the master storyteller. He told stories to make a point, a earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And he told the story of the Pharisee and the tax collector in Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. This will illustrate to you what spiritual poverty is. Then Jesus told this story to some who had great confidence in their own righteousness and scorned everyone else. Quote, two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, and the other was a despised tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer. Quote, I thank you, God, that I am not like the other people, cheaters, sinners, adulterers. I'm certainly not like that tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give you a tenth of all of my income. But the tax collector stood at a distance and dared not even lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, O God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner. I tell you, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. This is a perfect illustration of what Jesus is teaching in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Happy to be envied are those who understand they are poor in spirit. The very opposite of being poor in spirit is the illustration here of the tax collector. Look what he did. He was a very religious person. He believed in Hashem. He goes to the temple, and he is proud of his accomplishments. He is proud of his righteousness. And he stood praying. He's a very religious Pharisee. He said, God, I thank you. I am not like other people. So he compares himself to other people. And he is doing it in his pride and self-righteousness. He said, look, Lord, I'm not a cheater. I'm certainly not a sinner. And I'm not an adulterer. And certainly I'm not like this tax collector. What's the problem here? This is a very religious man, but he's filled with pride. And Jesus says the only way to healing is brokenness. We must be broken over our sinfulness in order to be justified, in order to be a kingdom citizen, in order to come to God and to receive pardon and forgiveness. We can only do that if we are broken in our spirit. And that was the very attitude of the tax collector. The tax collector was that beggar. He stood away at a distance. Notice, he didn't come to God boasting. He didn't even lift up his eyes to heaven, and he was praying just like the Pharisee. He was beating his chest in sorrow, saying, oh God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner. Jesus pronounced Makarios, a blessing, happiness on this tax collector, because he understood exactly what it meant to be poor in spirit. And Jesus adds, for those who exalt themselves, like the Pharisee, I will humble them. But this tax collector, I tell you, in his humility, in his poverty of spirit, I will exalt this man. Now, you might be asking yourself, well, wait a minute. I'm a Christian. I'm trusting in the Lord. And what does it mean for me then to continually be poor in spirit? What are you talking about? Well, we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. But right now, I want you to hear this very special song from David Crowder that talks about being blessed, being poor in spirit, that we come just as we are.
Come out of sadness from wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted, let rescue begin. Come find your mercy, oh sinner, come kneel. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your burden.
the incredible worship music of David Crowder. He's talking about what I'm teaching you today. Blessed are the poor in spirit. We come as we are to God in our spiritual poverty, depending on His grace and on His mercy and forgiveness. But you ask the question, I'm a Christian. What does this mean for me? Because these characteristics that we're talking about here in the Beatitudes are characteristics of kingdom citizens. Well, very easily understood is our spiritual poverty. But as a Christian, we battle the effects of sin in our daily life. And blessed are the poor in spirit for Christians is to grow closer in our dependence on God for every detail of our life. And so as Christians, when we recognize that sin is an impediment to our Christian walk, that it hurts our fellowship with God, that as kingdom citizens, we are to be sensitive daily to how sin can hurt our fellowship with God, and that if we recognize our dependence on Him and understand how sin distorts our life and hurts our fellowship with God, we stay humble before Him, cry out to Him daily for His mercy and forgiveness, and that we don't become proud like the Pharisee in the illustration, where we're comparing our righteousness with someone else. So we're staying humble. We're understanding that sin is a destructive force, and that we must live in such a way that we recognize we need God's grace every day. You know, we don't ever, in our walk with the Lord, want to become proud, want to become the kind of person in the illustration I shared today. It's very easy to take on the self-righteous attitude of the Pharisee. And so in the coming weeks, I want you to have this place marked in your Bible. We are going to be studying in depth the Beatitudes. Today, we've looked at the first one of the many ones we're going to learn. There's eight in all. Blessed are the poor in spirit. If today you don't know the Lord as your Savior, recognize that your sin, your spiritual poverty, is something that Jesus wants to remove. He wants to cleanse you of your sin. He wants to remove that guilt and give you His life, give you His mercy, and give you His forgiveness. And so the first quality we looked at today is a blessing for you, is happiness for you. When you recognize these Beatitudes are the key to happiness, they will be the treasure of your walk as a Christian. And we've learned what spiritual poverty is today, and we've learned how as a Christian we can live that out in our walk before the Lord. Next week, next Thursday, we're going to be learning about blessed are they that mourn. It seems very contrary. How can there be happiness and blessing for those who mourn? We're going to find that out in the next coming week. But please take the time between now and next Thursday to take this first Beatitude, internalize it, study, read what Scripture has to say about this subject. It will enrich your life, because if we're looking for happiness and fulfillment, the Beatitudes are the key to happiness. Jesus promises us blessedness, blissfulness, and happiness because we give attention to these Beatitudes. His words are life-transforming, and I hope today that you have been helped and transformed by His holy word. Next Thursday, we're going to continue on the study of the Beatitudes. God bless you. Have a great week.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweet sweetest spring. But wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ the His face. I rest on His unchanging.